This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious Lord and King of Kings, there is not any deep recess of the universe where you do not reign as King. And so may the same be that for the deepest recesses of our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. You did not come here for the 9:30 science class, but I have a little science quiz for you as we begin. Were any of you, by the way, at the 5 o'clock service last night or the 7:45 this morning? If you were, do not answer. Guess for me how many earthquakes took place on this earth yesterday that had a magnitude of 2.5 or greater. Anybody? Hundreds, 15, 10. 9, 0, and 26. 26. The greatest one was in Fiji, 6.5 on the Richter scale. They went all the way from Yellowstone, Montana, to Alaska, to Kyrgyzstan, to New Zealand, to Puerto Rico, to Guatemala, to China, to Arizona, Nevada, and the Dominican Republic. Earthquakes happen all the time. Now, why, you are saying, on the Feast of Christ the King is our crazy rector talking about earthquakes? Well, it just was an interesting thing for me that as I read through this account of Luke, that he never mentions an earthquake. Now, we know from Matthew and the other gospel accounts, in some fashion, that an earthquake occurred. Now, we are on the last Sunday of the church year. We are ending year C, the year of Luke. And we will begin with First Advent next Sunday, the new church year, and we will switch and we will be hearing a lot from Matthew. But here we finish this year of Luke and no earthquake. But think of what we have dealt with Luke for this entire year. It's been nothing but metaphorical earthquakes. It is the world turned topsy-turvy when Jesus comes. That the way we feel, the things we might want to ground ourselves with, Jesus turns it all upside down. The humble will be raised up, the proud will be beaten down. The role of women who were treated as property in Jesus' day, Luke raises their status up more than any other gospel writer. The whole world turned upside down. So maybe Luke doesn't even need to have a physical earthquake mentioned because metaphorically they've been happening all the time. He does tell us in the verses that immediately follow the passage we heard today that the veil in the sanctuary was torn in two. The earthquake caused that. But this is an important thing for us. You know, that veil in the sanctuary, even in some Eastern Rite churches today, or as we've gone on pilgrimage and seen some of these medieval cathedrals, they have this screen, sometimes even a stone wall, that separates the congregation from the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies, as if there's something secret going on back there that is so holy that we cannot see it. When Jesus completes his work, the veil is torn. And we can see God as God truly is. We have total access to God. But there's an earthquake that occurs here. That day, the mystery we call God was revealed like never before. And if we're truly paying attention and listening, our presuppositions about who this God is are going to be shattered. You know, we say in many of our collects, all-powerful God. But I think sometimes we get the wrong idea of what that power is all about. We use power in our culture as power over someone or something, or power against, up against someone or something. But that's not the power that's at work here. If that's the type of understanding you have of power, then God is not all-powerful. It's a different kind of God, a different notion of power. We know in our history, over time, totalitarian dictatorships have tried to force through power people to be changed. But it never worked. No king, no dictator could ever change a human heart. But this love could. And this love did. That power alone, powerless love to change the human heart. And one of those first people changed was a thief. Criminal who was humble enough to know that he did wrong, that he was paying the price for his decisions. That was the first heart this power changed. And after that, it was one heart after another. A crucified love that did not compel the thief to change. This is the stuff of earthquakes, the true nature of who God is. We have to start getting it right. I am tired of people who continue to do a number on themselves because their notion of God is not real and it gets in the way of our spiritual growth. In one sense, it shouldn't be a surprise to us. They didn't get it right in Jesus' day. That's why Judas betrayed him. That's why Peter sliced off the ear of the high priest's slave. He had the wrong idea of power. James and John vying for position. Wrong idea of power. But how many times do I hear people say something happens in their life? Well, I guess God had reasons for this. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't do things for a reason to teach you a lesson. That's not how God works. God can bring us through our difficulties, but that's God on the other side. To use a practical example, God is not the one who pushes us into the swimming pool. He's the one on the other side helping us to get pulled out. Would a loving parent do stuff that hurts us to teach us a lesson? You wouldn't do that to your own kids, so why do we think God works that way? The problem is what that approach does to us, it causes us to stop believing in God eventually. Because we'll end up rejecting God because we're not going to be able to reconcile a God who would cause or even allow our suffering. There's something not right in that understanding. And it's dangerous. Because we become what we worship. We're made in the image and likeness of God, And if our God, all-powerful, is all about victory and triumph and power over and power against, then that's what my life's going to be like. Shooting to be victorious and triumphant in all things, at all times, at whatever cost, and we won't know what to do when we fail, morally or any other way. We want to create ourselves in the image and likeness of a God who doesn't exist. And that's the earthquake today. We're missing who God really is. I had a conversation with a priest friend of mine this past week. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And he told me that he had been counseling a woman who was abused by her father and her uncles over a period of many years. Horrible. And he said she would say in her prayer, "God, if you love me and care for me, why would you do this to me?" Now that's a legitimate question if your notion of an all-powerful God is that wrong notion. But she asked it again and again until one day, she just gave up on God and didn't come to church anymore. She rejected God. About a year later, he said, she showed up at church looking like a changed woman. She said, "Here's what happened. I was at home scrubbing the bathroom floor, and I was really mad. And I'm scrubbing with the scrub brush harder and harder, and with each scrub, I'm saying, 'God, why did you do this? Why did you do this?' And then she heard a voice. The voice," she said this: "If I would have forced them," those who forced you, "I would be no better than them. I would have been like them who forced you. I don't want to be like them. That's not who I am. I don't force." With those words, he said the woman fell in love with God again on her bathroom floor. She came to understand that God is like her, that God understands because God is a victim too, that God suffers with her. The veil has been torn. You want to see the fullness of an all-powerful God? There he is. Seems like a paradox. Looking powerless, abandoned, dying. When Jesus hung on that cross, as Luke told us today, they mocked him, they scoffed at him, they derided him, and each time they said something like, "Don't do this, save yourself, take the easy way out, look at power as power over someone else." But his silence speaks volumes to us. "No, I can't. No, I won't." And thank God he didn't. That's not who God is. That's not how God works. The power of a powerless love is the most powerful love in the world. We are most like God when we love and are loved that way. Think of it in your own life. You meet a person who is truly humble, who has no need to control, no need to manipulate, no agenda. A humble person like that has the power to affect us for the positive more than any other person on this earth. Something stirs inside of us when we see God in that person, in that situation. Perhaps a personal earthquake. Each day there are earthquakes. May they continue to happen to us. that this all-powerful God is revealed to us in the truest sense, in the powerlessness of his powerful love. That's a king that's worth our allegiance. That's the only king that deserves our allegiance. Amen.